Hey, take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, would you? John chapter 14, we're going to go there. And after you get your place there in John chapter 14, go back to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, if you would. And hold on to those two places. We're going to be, the majority of the message will be in the Gospel of John. But we're going to give one pretty quick in Matthew, and I want you to be able to see the scripture. And rather than you having to turn real quick over there, we'll just have your hand there, all right? And you can be there. Then later on, towards the end of the message, we'll be using some verses that are further on in the New Testament there past John. But most of the time, we'll be in the Gospel of John. I've been doing my best here lately for about 16 Sundays to preach to you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He's referred to in the scripture by numerous, numerous names. And we've looked at a lot of those, and we're not going to cover all of them. I'm not about to try to do that. But we'll look at a good many of them, and just to try to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And can I just say, that's the truth. That's the truth. Now I want to preach to you this morning on the truth. Jesus Christ, the truth. The truth. Jesus Christ firmly declared that he was the truth. All right? It was not a claim to being partial truth or a bit of truth, but the truth.
Amen.
The truth. All right? Now, others in history have claimed to tell the truth, but he's the only individual who could ever claim to be the truth. Amen. To be the truth. And if you follow his life, you can understand why. You can understand why. If you have your place there in Matthew, I neglected one place. We're going to actually go to Mark, but don't lose your place in Matthew, all right? Mark chapter 12, if you just turn there, Mark chapter 12. It's between John and Matthew, so it ought to be easy to find, all right? Mark chapter 12, verse 32, all right? Notice what the Bible says, and the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Not only was he the truth, but he spoke the truth. Hey, this was his enemies. This was his enemies in Mark 12, verse 32, saying, Yep, you speaking the truth. Even his enemy admitted he spoke the truth, all right? And he did. He always spoke the truth. But if you look in John chapter 8 and verse 45, you'll find out something. In John chapter 8 and verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He always spoke the truth, but folks didn't always believe the truth that he spoke, all right? Not only did he speak the truth, I told you we'd be in Matthew. Matthew 22, verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Here's his enemies saying, hey, not only did he speak the truth, but he taught the truth. What he taught was the truth. But I want to point out to you, it even goes deeper than that, all right? Look in John chapter 1, would you? John chapter 1, won't you see a verse there? And it's about Jesus Christ, the truth. He taught the truth. He spoke the truth. But that's not all. Verse 17 of John 1 says, and for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So what are you saying? I'm saying he brought the truth. He brought the truth. No one's ever brought the truth like the Lord Jesus Christ did. And no one ever has. Now, I believe most of you do your best to be truthful in speech, right? But is anybody here that would raise their hand and said, I've never hedged on the truth when I was speaking? We all have. But not the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? No one ever brought the truth as he did. But can I say this to you? He could have done nothing less. You say, why do you say that? Look at verse 14, John chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Notice, full of grace and truth. Hey, he was filled with the truth. When you're filled with something, that's what you're going to come out with, all right? He was the truth. Now, what does that all mean for me and you? For me and you. Now, we can, as Bible believers, we can get excited about everything's been said. But what does it mean for me and you? If you'd let me be a little bit flippant, if he is the truth, so what? So what? Well, you need to think of this. Number one, truth never changes. Amen. Truth never changes. There's a lot of things that people have thought were the truth that have changed over the years. I marvel at dietary suggestions. In my lifetime, eat this. No, don't eat that. Eat this. No, you can't eat that. Man alive, you know. You're trying to figure out, okay, eat it. No, don't eat it, you know. And whatever, they switch back and forth thinking it's okay to eat it and not okay to eat it. And y'all know I'm on this diet, not to belabor the point, but one thing they told me was, hey, you can eat eggs. Eggs don't have any carbs in them. And I thought, well, glory to God, you know, I can eat eggs. But down through my life, I remember the time where, no, don't eat that many eggs. Don't eat the eggs. Man, I like eggs. I like them fried. I like them scrambled. I can eat them boiled. I like them deviled. I like eggs, you know. So that's a good thing, and I'm glad. And then somebody said, no, don't eat the yolk. Don't eat the yolk. Just eat white. Even the Bible tells you there's no taste in the white of an egg, okay? No taste in the white of an egg. Hey, a lot of things people thought's true, they found out wasn't true. But what is true doesn't change. Doesn't change. Always true. If it was true 100 years ago, it's true today. And by the way, if it's true 100 years ago, it's true today, it's going to be true in another 100 years. Truth just doesn't change, all right? It doesn't change. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ as the truth doesn't change. Doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Never changes. Never changes. He'll always meet you according to his word. Always. You said, how's the Lord? How's Jesus Christ going to be today? Same way he was yesterday. He's not like me and you. We wake up moody one day. We wake up out of sorts one day. And then one day we wake up happy and cheerful. And I've told you the story. We first started our Christian school. We had a bus, and we picked up kids on the bus. And it just worked out where we had a lot of kids that we could simply pick up. At that time, I lived over in Diamond Hill, and I could run the bus, pick them up on my way to school, and we had a big number of kids that we rode the bus, all right? And we did that, but there was one stop we made, and I knew how it was going to be with that one particular student when they walked out the door that day. I mean, you could tell how it was going to be because, man, some days that student would come out, and it was like smoke was coming out of her ears. Man, they were hot, all right? I mean, I'm trying to be careful. She was hot, okay? I mean, man, she was upset, and you could tell it. She was fumes on her face and every way. Other days she'd come out, she's on top of the world, all right? Hey, we're like that, but I'll tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the same every day. He's the same every day. You face him, you guarantee it, he's going to be the same, all right? He's not going to change. He's never too tired. He's never too moody. He's never too distressed to meet with you, All right? Never is. All right? He's always ready to hear and answer prayer. You never have to worry about coming to him and him saying to you, I don't want to be bothered right now. Never have to fear that. Why? He's the same. He's the same. Truth never changes. Truth never changes. But there's something else about truth. Take your Bible to John chapter 8, would you? John chapter 8. I want you to look at one verse. We're going to read this verse. You can say, I've heard that before. Good. It's been in the Bible a long time. I hope you have heard it, all right? John chapter 8, verse 32. The Bible said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Hey, folks, there is such great freedom in knowing the truth. Just knowing the truth. I think it's a wonderful thing to have access to the truth. If I go to the doctor and see the doctor, I want the doctor to tell me the truth. I don't want him to beat around the bush with me about what's going on. I want him to look me in the eye and say, this is what's wrong, okay? Sometimes it's not good news. I was in the hospital in June of 2006. I had made the mistake of exercising. No, I was kidding about that. I'd gotten out one evening, and I was walking, and I had this, you know, feeling like it was pressure, but it wasn't pressure on my chest. It was kind of pressure from inside the chest. And I basically ignored it. I won't go through the whole story. Went home, went to bed that night. The next morning, I got up. I couldn't ignore it. Man, sweat was pouring off of me. I was nauseated. And I finally came in and told my wife, woke her up. I said, you know, I think you might need to take me to the hospital. Well, she thought, kidney stone. She said, you got a kidney stone? Because I'd had a ton of them. And I said, no, it's right here. You know, she changed. Amen. She jumped out of that bed like he would not have believed. If it would have been a kidney stone, she said, oh, brother, here we go again. And it was amazing when you get to the emergency room and they say, what's wrong? Chest pain. Get in here real quick, man. Hurry up, you know. They don't say, well, sit down there and we'll be with you in 3 hours. All right? No, man, you get in and they look you over. So after all of that and having two stents put in while I was there and going through all that, I'm sitting in the hospital bed that next day and hoping to go home, and in walks in this young lady, and she has a nice smile on her face, and she says, hey, you're a type 2 diabetic. I said, huh? Good news. It just pours on you sometimes, you know. But you know what? I'd rather people be honest and tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. You see, I think there's freedom in the truth. And the Bible says the truth shall make you free. Hey, listen, when it comes to our sin, it's only the truth that can free us. Hey, you and I are bound by sin. We are sinners by birth. You've heard it said. If you haven't, you're going to now. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. We're born sinners, all right? We're just born that way. It's in us. We don't have to be taught. We are sinners, okay? And the problem is because we are sinners, oftentimes we don't realize how much we're bound by that sin. Sin enslaves us. It enslaves people today, and we think, well, they're enslaved because of alcoholism or drug. Wait a minute. Sin, period, enslaves you. That old sin of gossip enslaves you. That sin of jealousy, envy, it enslaves you. It's not just those things that major sin. No, illegal sin. No, sin, period, enslaves us. But only thing that could free us from that sin is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is truth. And when we can get a hold of that truth and understand that, hey, I can be freed from that sin. That freedom comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the folks blinded by sin need the truth of Jesus Christ to find freedom. That's it. That's what's necessary. You'll never, never be freed from your sin apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Why? Because, hey, the truth the truth shall make you free. Hey, it works. Truth never changes. Truth brings freedom. But there's something else that truth does. Go to John chapter 17, would you? John chapter 17 in your Bible. And we're going to look at two verses here. John chapter 17, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord was speaking. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You say, now, preacher, is the word truth or is Jesus the truth? Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Exactly. Yes. Hey, he was the spoken word, the living word. He was the living word, and it's true. And this written word right here, it is truth too, all right? Because he is the word. Remember, the Bible said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah, hey, we've got that truth, all right? And the Lord was praying. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Now look at verse 19. Here he's still praying, and for thy sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hey, truth sanctifies us. Now before you start strutting around, saying, I'm sanctified. Wait a minute. Do you even know what you're talking about? Hey, you see that word? It's not a mysterious word. It simply means set apart. Set apart. You're sanctified by the truth. Now, here's what the Lord was saying in that prayer. He was saying it was the truth that was going to set apart his disciples. You said set apart from what? Everything and everybody. Hey, it was true then, still true now. It is the truth that sets us apart from the world. It's the truth. It's the relationship we have with the living word and our obedience to the written word that sets us apart. That's the thing that makes us unique. That's the thing that makes us different, all right? Hey, we're to be a strange creature in the eyes of the world. Set apart, okay? Set apart by sanctified. Why? By the Lord. Hey, listen, the old life, the old ways that you had and you were before you got saved, and you get the relationship you should with Jesus Christ, those old ways and that old life doesn't satisfy you anymore. You're not happy anymore there. You're not content to keep on doing that same old thing. Now, you may do it, but you're miserable. Miserable. There's a ton of people today that are saved, and they still try to go back and live that old wicked life, and they're miserable in their life. Why? Because they're not satisfied, because the Lord says, hey, man, I've set you apart, okay? I've set you apart, and you've been set apart, and what's happened to you, the Lord's done it. Hey, it never satisfies that one who's allowed the truth to really permeate his soul. When that truth gets in you, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to set us apart from every other religion that's out there, all right? Everything. Why? Because we belong to him. The more we know him, and the more we know of his truth, hey, the more we like him and the more we want to be like him. The difference that's in us, all right? We're different. Why? Because we believe his word and we act upon it. We act upon it. That's the truth. The truth should have an impact on you. I'll be honest with you. Now, don't misunderstand where I'm preaching, okay? I'm not preaching to you, you're going to become perfect. You're not going to be perfect. There's no perfection for me and you here. But you'll not be satisfied and happy in your sin anymore. You'll not be. There's going to be something in you, and if there's not something in you that has a desire to just step out and be different from this old world, oh man, you've missed something in your relationship with Christ. It's the truth that sanctifies us. You with me? It's the truth that sets us free. But wait a minute. There's a truth about the truth that you need to get a hold of, all right? Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. If you find 1 Thessalonians, hold on to it because we're going there too, all right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, all right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will. And notice what the Bible says, all right? Well, let's look 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I just love this verse. I just love this verse. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which, notice, effectually worketh also in you that believe. He said, preacher, where are you going? I'm going right here. Hey, the truth to do any good has to be received. The truth has to be received. Has to be received. They've been to the doctor, and the doctor said, look, either you do this or you're going to be dead. My grandfather went to the doctor years and years ago. The doctor looked him in the eye and said, if you keep smoking, it will kill you, and it will kill you soon. And my granddad's testimony was, I went home, I took all the ones I had, I threw them away, and I never touched another one. And God gave him a pretty long life. But he received the truth. He received the truth. A lot of times, hey, truth does you no good if you won't receive it. If you don't receive it, it doesn't do you a bit of good. Doesn't do you a bit of good. Hey, somebody tell you, okay, you keep driving like that, and you're going to be buying a lot of tires. I used to hear people, you know, peel out. Man, their tires would squeal, and they'd leave rubber on the road, and you see that black strip. Every time I heard it, I thought, won't be long, he'll be buying tires. Now, that person doesn't have to listen, but it's going to happen. Going to happen. Hey, you don't have to receive the truth. You don't have to change oil in your vehicle. You do not have to do that. It's not a requirement. Don't, if you don't want to. But you will be buying a new vehicle more often than the people that do. All right? Now, that's the truth. But you don't have to receive it. You don't have to receive it. Let me say this. There's no doubt at all. In my mind, there's definitely no doubt in the Bible that Jesus is the truth. And if you receive him, notice what the Bible says. It effectually worketh also in you that believe. You said, why is that Christian over there living such a victorious Christian life and I'm struggling? Well, you didn't receive the truth. Oh, you heard it, but you didn't receive it. You didn't receive it. Hey, there's folks, I've knocked on doors, I've witnessed to people, and I told them, and they sat and told me,
I had you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 12 there, if you would. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Okay? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. You see, you don't have to receive the truth, but if you don't receive the truth, the Bible said you're headed to a place called hell. You don't receive Christ. Hey, Christian, let me say this to you. You don't receive the truth about the way you ought to live and the way you ought to conduct yourself, you're going to have a rough time in life. You're going to face difficulties, but it's not God's fault. It's your fault. You see, the truth must be received. If it is received, it's amazing what it'll do in you. It's amazing what it'll do in you. I've seen people get saved, and the biggest change you can imagine took over. Now, it didn't necessarily boom overnight, but man, as you watch them over time, Their life changed. Their everything changed. Boy, they went from a wicked sinner to a faithful servant of God. Why? Because God did a work in them. Why? Because they received the truth. They received the truth. They received the truth. Hey, what? You have to let him in. You have to let him in. Won't do any good if you don't let him in. Too many of God's people don't let him in. Oh, we trust him for salvation. But he doesn't have much place in their home. He doesn't have much place in their life. Why? Well, they don't let him in. They don't let him in. Truth must be received. Go to Galatians chapter 5 with me, all right? Galatians chapter 5 in your Bible. Jesus said, I am the truth. The truth has to be received. Wait a minute. Galatians 5, verse 7. Tremendous verse. The Bible said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You should not obey the truth. Look, truth is to be obeyed. Obey. Obedience to the truth is not optional. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Listen, you're not in the line at the cafeteria. You're not swinging through all of those serving tables at the buffet. You're not going there and saying, nah, I don't think I'd want that. I don't believe I'd like that. That wouldn't set too well with me, and I don't want to fill myself up with that when I can have this. And no, it's not that way. Truth's not optional. Truth is to be obeyed. Truth is to be obeyed. The Lord Jesus Christ is just to be obeyed. Simple. Hardest thing in the world to get across to kids is obedience. One of the most difficult things for us as adults to show as an example is obedience. I want to do my thing. I want to do it my way. Hey, it's not just kids that see the sign that says don't walk on the grass that walk on the grass. It's adults. It's not just kids that see the sign wet paint don't touch. It's adults. Well, they weren't kidding. It was wet. Hey, we've got a problem with obedience. Truth of the matter is we've got a problem in this day and age with just doing what we're told to do. I mean, just being willing to listen to authority. Just listen to authority. Now, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the authority. And he has written this book and left it for us, and it is authoritative. When the Bible says, thou shalt, you better do it. And when the Bible says, thou shalt not, you better not do it. Okay? You say, well, what difference does it make? Well, right there in verse 7, ye did run well. But you quit obeying the truth. You quit obeying the truth. You said, so what does that mean? Hey, when truth is obeyed, the result is a race well run. A race well run. And good. It doesn't do you any good to have the truth just to discuss it, just to converse about it, and then ignore it. God gives us the truth so we can obey it and be blessed and grow in this life. That's why God gives us the truth. It's not because I just like to see them have to jump to my word. No. I grew up in a house where mom and dad were strict, okay? Mom and dad were strict. And they said, do it, and you did it, all right? You said, well, no, I wouldn't have. You would have wished you had them, all right? I'm going to tell you straight out, all right? And so we just grew up in a house like that and do it, and we did it. And you know what? It made for a wonderful, happy home. Made for a wonderful, happy home. Things were good, man. And when we were obedient, life was good. Life was good. It was enjoyable. when my brother and I, usually him, when we disobeyed, life wasn't as much fun anymore. Hey, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Well, we decided not to obey the truth. Life was running along good, and all of a sudden, bam! Well, I decided I'd do my thing. Listen, if you'll obey the truth, you'll get a hold of that. You'll obey the truth. Life runs better. Life runs better. You see, truth is to be obeyed. We're to have it. God gives it to us. Why? So we can obey it and just enjoy living the life God has. Just enjoy it. It keeps us from a lot of problems. I didn't agree with everything my dad told me to do or not to do. Especially when I was a kid. There was a lot of it I looked at and I thought, what? And there's even things I remember in the Bible I thought.
That was as a kid, but I've grown up. And I've watched the people that disobeyed. Hey, I've watched the people that weren't taught the kind of things we were taught in our home. And I've watched their life crumble. I've watched them go through one problem after another. I mean, just one troublesome thing after another. And I began to look at it. When I got smart enough to see it and understand, I began to say, hey, Dad, you were right. Man,
all of that. Spared all of that. And I look at the Bible and I say, God, now I understand. Amen. Oh, I didn't understand some of it before, but I do now. You told us and you spared us heartache and trouble. We'd just do what you said. But you put us in a place where you could bless us. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the truth is to be obeyed. Truth is to be obeyed. Go with me now, if you will, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And I want you to see, this is one final thing about truth that we need to get a hold of. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 4. The Bible said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now notice the first five words, verse 3. For the time will come. For the time will come. What? They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. The Bible tells us there in verse 3, they're going to reject sound doctrine. That means they're going to reject the truth. Hey, they've turned their ears away from the truth. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The truth can be spurned. You can spurn the truth. You can turn away from it. We live in a day where that's happening. Folks have spurned the truth for that which satisfies the flesh. The truth is spurned today because it's not convenient. Not convenient, or it's not comfortable. Just makes us uncomfortable in this old wicked world to go by the truth. And the truth is spurned in our day. And I could go through multitudes of examples, all right, where the truth has just been spurned. We turned away from it. But this came, what, Thursday night. I was out making some visits, trying to talk to some people. And I went to a house of some folks that used to be faithful church members in a good fundamental Baptist church. And I went. And the first time I visited that house, they invited me in. They invited me in, sat down, had a wonderful, friendly visit. Good visit. This time, the man came out, shut the door behind him, and I could look at his countenance and see, you know, you'd rather I not be here. You'd rather I not be here. And I'm going to tell you what I told him. I said, I'm not here to be a nuisance. I'm not here to, and gonna, I'm not going to keep coming, and you're going to think, oh no, it's that guy again. I said, I'm not. I won't come back. But I'm going to tell you this. I said, I'm here because I care about you. I'm here because you knew, and you know you ought to be in the house of God. And I asked him one point, I said, have you just got used to staying out? And he said, yes. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about people that are diving into what the world calls deep, or Christians call deep sin. I'm just talking about people that have spurned the truth. Just spurned the truth. My work schedule is such, I understand. It's not convenient, but it's right. It's right. Hey, we live in a day where people have spurned the truth. Now, here's the problem. When you spurn the truth, you embrace a lie. Notice what it said there. He said, you've been turned unto fables. You embrace a lie. Now, that's what's going on in our day. That's what's going on in our day. We have spurned the truth that that unborn baby is a human being. And we've decided it's okay to kill it. Not only is it okay, it is a right. I'm going to tell you, it's never right to do wrong, okay? But we've bought that lie. And now we embrace that lie. You say, preacher, I don't. I know it. And I hope you never do. But you be careful. We're living in a day where we've spurned the truth. We've spurned the truth that God said he made them male and female, created he them. We've spurned that truth. And now we get the propaganda on television that there is a multiplicity of genders and you can choose your gender. Hey, where'd that come from? We spurned the truth, so we've embraced the lie. We've embraced the lie. And man, we could just go on and on and on. But you hear me. People doing it around the world. We spurn Christ and we embrace mysticism, self-help, self-righteousness, Hinduism, atheism, and all the other isms that are out there. All that man can devise, just as long as it is not Jesus Christ. We'll take anything but him. Anything but him. Oh, what a shame. You can spurn the truth, but if you do, it'll be to your own peril. The Bible said you'll be turned to fables. You're headed for heartbreak. You're headed for sorrow. And you're headed for hell. Let me tell you this morning, I'll take the truth. I'll take the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll stand with him. And I'll stand for him. How about you? How about you? Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, in a day where we realize beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are the truth. And Lord, we're to stand with that truth. And Lord, we who are saved and we who have developed a relationship with you, understand the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. Oh Lord, what a blessing it is that you never change. But Lord, would you help us? Would you help us? Because sometimes, Lord, we're just a little bit slow to receive the truth. Sometimes we get a little bit away from it. Lord, help that. Help our unbelief. Lord, meet with us today. If there's folks here who never trusted Christ, would you help them to come today? Trust the Savior. Give them the courage, step out, walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. Lord, if there's Christians here that have had the truth preached to them, they know the truth, but they've not received it. Lord, help them to understand. That's why they're going through some of the troubles they go through. If they'd get right with you, you could bless them again. And Lord, life could be fruitful, and they can run well the race of life. Help us today to use invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.